The Christian Reader tells the story of Clara Knoll, who was rushing about one Christmas Eve shopping with her grandchildren. As they loaded up in the car after one of their stops, her little grandson, four-year-old Jason, said, "Grandma, Susie has something in her pocket." Then he reached into Susie's pocket and pulled out a brand new shiny red beret. Now, though Clara was tired, she knew it was important for Susie to take that beret back to the store, apologize to the manager, and put the item back where she found it. And so they did just that. Later, they stopped for a few groceries, and at the checkout, the clerk asked, "Have you kids been good so Santa will come?" And Jason said, "Yes, I've been very good, but my sister just robbed a store." Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Franklin Pierce Adams, in his book, The Other 364 Days, had this to say about Christmas. Christmas is over. Business is business. Christmas is over. Business is business. In other words, one set apart, extraordinary day, and then there's the other 364 days that are business as usual. You know, we've all seen it. You know, the first hints of Christmas come in about August, and then we get into full swing by November. You know, it used to be Black Friday was the big thing. But now we can't seem to even wait that long. We have to do it now on Thanksgiving. And if that's not enough, well, now that we're in the 21st century, we've got Cyber Monday. All that shopping. But in addition to all the shopping, we've got those Christmas lights that have to be hung. The decorations go up. Cards are sent. Cookies are baked. Preparations for travel or receiving family. There's parties and programs, and by the time we actually get to Christmas, sometimes we're exhausted. But then it arrives, and we unwrap the presents, and maybe there's some assembly required, and maybe you forgot the batteries. Then we clean up, and we cook, and we clean up some more, and we eat a lot, and then we play games, maybe, and have some conversation. And then we go to bed, all in a good day. The next morning, it's up early, go to the store along with a mob of other people exchanging items and taking advantage of those great after Christmas clearance sales. In fact, I know some people that do their Christmas shopping the day after Christmas for the next year. But in the days that follow, family will go home, the lights will come down, decorations will be packed away and stored. Children will return to school and adults will go back to work. And fitness centers will be celebrating the increase in membership as many seek to lose all those unwanted pounds. Then Christmas becomes that distant memory. The only reminder of its coming are those credit card bills that arrive mid-January. But maybe this year will be different. What if we don't pack away Jesus with all the other decorations? And we live as if Christmas is never over. That Christmas is infused in all the other 364 days. Jean Thompson taught fifth grade. In her class was a boy named Teddy. Teddy did not play well with the other children. His clothes were always dirty, and he constantly needed a bath. He was a sad and sullen child. And although she tried to love all her students equally and treat them the same, she just could not muster up a liking for Teddy. At her school, Mrs. Thompson was required to review the records of all her students, and she had put Teddy off to the very last. But she finally opened his file and was surprised. His first grade teacher had written, "Teddy is a bright, inquisitive child with a ready laugh. He does his work neatly and has good manners. He is a joy to be around." His second grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is an excellent student, well-liked by his classmates, but is troubled because his mother has a terminal illness and life at home must be a struggle. His third grade teacher wrote, "Teddy continues to work hard, but his mother's death has been hard on him. Tries his best, but his father does not show much interest and his home life will soon affect him if some steps are not taken." Teddy's fourth grade teacher wrote, "Teddy is withdrawn, doesn't show much interest in school, doesn't have many friends, and sometimes sleeps in class. He is tardy, and he could become a problem." By now, Mrs. Thompson had realized the issue, but Christmas was coming fast, and it was all she could do to keep up with the demands of the season. And then it was the last day of school before their break. And suddenly she was forced to focus on Teddy. All her students had brought her presents, all of them in bright paper and beautiful bows, except for Teddy's, which was clumsily wrapped in heavy brown paper. When Mrs. Thompson opened it, some of the children started to laugh because inside was a rhinestone bracelet with some of the stones missing and a bottle that was one quarter full of perfume. She stifled the children's laughter when she put the bracelet on one wrist and dabbed some perfume on the other wrist. After class, Teddy stayed behind just long enough to say, "Mrs. Thompson, today you smell just like my mom used to." From that day on, Mrs. Thompson paid particular attention to Teddy. As she worked with him, his mind seemed to come alive. The more she encouraged him, the faster he responded. And on the days where there was an important test, Mrs. Thompson would wear the perfume. By the end of the year, Teddy had become one of the top students in her class. It's a great story, because wrapped up in this story is the true meaning of Christmas. Love changes hearts, and love changes lives. It's the message of the whole entire gospel story of Scripture, which is focused in on that one verse so many of us know very well, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life." I love Christmas. I love the familiar story from Luke and also the section from Matthew where we read about the wise men who come from afar to see the child. I love the songs. It's a beautiful season, and it seems to pull us out of the ordinary into the extraordinary, at least for a time. But we sometimes forget what time was like back in the days when Jesus was born, because so many of the cards and visions we have are like this. It's serene, peaceful, beautiful. Mary is sitting there very angelic. You know, she had just given birth in a stable, really, after traveling 90 miles, okay? I guarantee you she did not look like that. Life was hard. The people of that era lived under the heavy thumb of the Roman Empire. They had traveled all those miles so they could be counted for taxes. It was a harsh time, a difficult time. A time where people were living in what the prophets described, a time of great darkness. Roman oppression, but also that sense of separation from the God that they so had relied on all the many years that they had been God's people and God had been their God. You know, the time then, not all that different than now. We still live in darkness. Sometimes that darkness is that world around us when we open our newspapers and we see terrorism and war and natural disasters and we see so much suffering in our world. Or the darkness can be really close to home, fractured relationships, or illness in our families, or a recent death that's left us crushed. Or even deeper inside, we can feel that sense of darkness that comes from loneliness because this season kind of brings up those memories. And sometimes we realize that maybe we're one of very few people left in our family anymore, and it just seems a crushing time, or we deal with depression. There is a lot of darkness in our world and in our lives. But then on that first Christmas, light entered the darkness. And that light was the love of God through the Son, Jesus Christ, who came to us. Pageantry aside, he came into our lives to bring light, to bring hope, peace, joy, and love. Because love changes lives and changes hearts. And sometimes the things in our lives don't go away, but that hope gets in there and reminds us that this isn't the last word, because love wins, and love will overcome all that we face. Because it's love that overcomes our sin and our guilt and our shame. It is love that overcomes death, that gives us eternal life. It is love that gives us hope that there is a tomorrow. The grief will pass. There's peace. Maybe not the kind of peace we're thinking of, but that inward peace that eases our anxieties as we lay our burdens upon the Christ child. There's always joy, not based on happy circumstances, but a joy coming from within, knowing that God is with us, Emmanuel. Love changes things. It changes people. You know, in that story, Mrs. Thompson's changed. Love is not a feeling, it's an action, and through her own actions, her heart towards that child changed. And because of that, Teddy changed. That's what love does. It changes us from the inside out, and it changes others as well. This season is all about love. You know, Christmas is a wonderful time of year, and I think it's sad that so often we pack the joy, the true meaning of Christmas, the love, joy, peace, light. We just pack it away because Christmas is over and business is business. And that's what they did back in Jesus' day. He's born and people went about their lives, but not the shepherds. The shepherds were changed. Yes, they went back to their sheep, but they also went away declaring glory to God and telling everyone what they had seen. The wise men, too, were changed. Some went on about their way, but people were changed. Christmas isn't about a day. It's about love coming to us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who infuses into every day of our lives hope, peace, joy, and love. The choice is ours. We can pack it away. Christmas is over. Business is business. Or we can make Christmas every day. Because in reality, Christmas is never over. Thanks be to God. Amen.